Time to write in a continuation of Visit with Cook and Helen. This is the 2nd December, 71. Channel 2 right and continuation of Visit with Cook and Helen. This is the 2nd December, 71. Channel 2 right and continuation of Visit with Cook and Helen. This is the 2nd December, 71.
And his load was metal, and I believe it hit on those rocks and caused it to ignite in the fire. Mm-hmm. Because it was the bed, whatever it was, we couldn't tell what all was burning.
The floor of the bed burned out and everything, but the main part of it, the tractor part of the truck, wasn't hurt.
It didn't seem like just mostly the wood part, you know, what was wood, just burnt. And this metal binding, I called it, looks like what they use on straps, they use on packages and things.
You know,
yeah.
They was
strung all over
burnt.
The edge of the, next to the heel.
Well, we of course, heard it about the snow. But other than that, other than that Wednesday night down here,
mm-hmm.
the weather was just warm.
Oh, it was so pretty in Beckley, West Virginia. We went off the turnpike in Beckley. I think every little twig had snow on it. It was a wet snow.
Uh-huh.
It was just beautiful. And it was a big brick homes. Big brick homes and big pines, you know, in front, and they're all so, it's just so pretty. Well, from there on into the higher elevations it was on.
Tell you, that rain going to set us up. We got a little rain. How much did we get?
Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's an hour. It's an hour. Now, this will take it up to a couple inches or so. That's pretty good this time of year.
Yeah.
And I just hope it doesn't turn cold.
Because it won't, evaporate.
Well, you see, the ground still warm. It's not been fresh. We ain't had no cold weather to cool the ground down, and the ground's still warm, and the moisture just going to push that grass right on out.
It's going to come in a hurry. Oh, yes. And ground's gonna work better too.
Yeah.
It was getting hard again. Dust is, when it's dusty on top, it's hard below, isn't it?
Yes, sure is. Yes, my fella.
It started raining about 3 this morning. A little bit after 3, maybe.
Now it worked yesterday.
I don't know what snow was. It was later than 3.
Pull my tractor up. I take it to Ocala today.
This Thursday.
I want to get it back on next Tuesday.
You just have to be the timekeeper, won't you?
Well, I ain't gonna do very much of anything for these guys. Cause they done told me, said, Cookie, you can't do that in the morning, Mother Cracker. Well, you ain't used to it. I said, don't tell me nothing. I know it.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie, I've been waiting for you to show up. I'm about out of water.
What?
Got so it rattles.
What, you mean the pump don't work?
It works. It looks like it's on its last go around.
And that pump back under don't work at all?
I paid $31 to get it repaired. And it sprung a leak down there, and it must have run 3 or 4 hours. And when I came back, it was stopped running. But it's wild. And it never was an account.
Well, in other words, it wasn't no good to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some...
And I've had it 6, 7 years.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. All right.
Right.
Well, I've got one sitting over on the trailer. But by golly, I'll pump. And
this?
We'll put it on there.
Huh?
And we'll put it on there.
You know their water system at home.
You can't take chance on just one pump.
All right.
Out in the country.
Well,
and this runs all the time. It knocks on every hour or so.
But it's waterlogged.
Well, it is.
You should drain it.
It needs bleeding. That would help a little bit.
We'll get fixed up this week.
Sure would. I know when that pump gets waterlogged, I don't like to use it until it's...
This pump's been a good one. This red jacket thing. It's been a noisy booger, but it's been a good one.
Yeah.
But it's half a horse, not enough.
How deep your well?
60 feet. 60.
I've only got a third on mine. It's 83.
Yeah.
Is there 60 out here? I don't know.
Yeah, that's enough. Half enough. Of course, now that big pump mine, it's half horse. Now it'll go on there. And we can make it work.
I'd rather be without electricity than without water. I tell you, that water, you just got to have water.
Got animal case when you're out in the country, though,
when
you're out without electricity,
totally.
You are without water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see you put your limousine up on the front row with the rest of them.
Yes, sir.
Proud
of
you.
Yes, sir.
See, I got some fertilizer put out. I don't know why I was waiting for it to rain to put it out. You said it would burn it. So now I've got to wait till it dries. It's too wet out there now.
Lord.
Country. We don't want it to rain too much down there, do we?
No.
It's floating away.
No more than we got to go there. Heck, we can throw that out by hand if we have to. Yeah, I can
move
it out
behind. I remember old Ben Wright was down there one time. He says, yes, he had farmed all over that country. And he said the last, it was cabbage crop he had in there. He said the rain got it. So it's not the first time.
Oh, yeah, I looked down there and, you know, I was the biggest surprise in the world to see a plaid because I always think about where you are a plaid is being underwater.
Have you heard from Mammy?
Yes, she's just fine.
Have you heard from Mark?
Yes, he's been by, not too much, has he, Dad?
No, he's getting independent. The last time was that Sunday afternoon.
Yeah?
Well, he was here after that,
yeah.
But that was the chief time. He came to see those horses, and he really saw them, didn't he?
Daddy said I never thought I'd see the plow, and then horses pull the plow on the table.
That was a nice occasion.
I said, well, Daddy does everything.
Not on the cloud, but you got the picture. That's what you didn't bring up, was the disc.
I didn't have room.
We didn't have your room, did we?
Had to bring them apples.
He was going to bring a disc. And I never once thought of it until now.
Nah, I had forgot about that disc. But I brought me a double tree. I brought me a few things, and I needed. I bought me some horseshoes.
Oh, you did?
Oh, really?
I'd forgotten about that.
Daddy gave me some horseshoes. Give me a double tree. New one.
He went to an auction.
Oh, he did.
And I tell you what I bought.
And Grandpa went on Saturday night.
I bought an old-fashioned block plane that they used to plane lumber with, you know.
Yes.
$1.25.
Yeah.
And then Daddy gave him one.
Yeah, I knew Grandpa Cole would give me one to go with it.
That's all yours.
But I couldn't resist that plane going for a dollar bill. Boy, I couldn't do that. I said a quarter.
Got it.
No, he went to the auction trying to find a stove. We looked all over West Virginia for a wood stove.
I went to the stock exchange on Friday after I got there on Thursday, you know, me and Dad.
Oh, dear.
And if I'd had me a rack for my truck, I wouldn't have broke no rack. Been no way. But I'd have brought me another horse.
Horse? Yeah, horse.
I told Grandpa I was so glad he didn't have her back.
A workhorse. I'm telling you, it was just a picture of baby.
Is that right?
Just a picture of baby.
Let me try. I don't want to appear uninterested in your workhorse. But, James is falling apart. You see the Ruby's restaurant over there changed hands. And for ever since anybody can remember, since James worked over there, he used Beatty's truck.
Yeah.
He practically brought his family up in that truck. When I came down here, he moved my stuff. He moved stuff for me in that truck, beat his truck. Not the same one. Either way, I'm out, get a new engine. All right. The truck was wore out when Beatty sold out. So he gave him his station wagon.
Yeah.
It was old, but it was all right. And I will miss oil.
No, this is fine. I need to take it off so when I go out, I can tell I had it on.
He can't keep it up. And he ain't running at the time. So he uses the lady's car over there to pick up the cooks.
Mm-hmm.
But she won't turn it over to him to use the countryside. Well, they got no more hauling, no more transportation. Miss Bessie had to put in a kerosene stove. Couldn't get any wood. Miss Daisy, her son brought her a little jag of wood, but more than likely he won't do it next time. And he got all sorts of things like that. And you know, I don't know how they make such a ceremony over such a little bit of effort. As many trees as there are in the country, and as little effort as it takes to cut one up, they can't cut them.
Here I want a stove and can't find one to fill.
Yeah.
We got the wood, but we can't find a stove without buying a new one.
What size you want? A heater?
Yeah.
I want just a little long with two burners on top.
Yeah, but you want cast iron. You don't want the metal. Yeah.
I want
cast iron.
Well, Ben got his from Johnny Palmer, and he got it 4 or 5 years ago, and paid him $35 then. But it's a pretty good stove for that.
That's $59 now.
Yeah.
Thing of it is, he could just get us one. The $49.95 in Sears catalog.
Well,
and
you know,
have to order
Sears, it's coming around now to where Sears is higher.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you'd have to go into the
to
store and order, and you'd have
it.
To pay the freight charges. I mean, the shipping charges, just like you'd order. Send an order.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Wouldn't be all the same difference. I said, if we could get one down here, if it did have to get a new one, I still can save in the long run.
You don't need an electric saw, power saw, saw. All you need is a crosscut saw with somebody on the other end.
Well, Leo can get
it. And it goes just like, it don't take out no time to cut that stuff.
No, and
it don't
get
take any time
at
to cut
university.
Through a log.
We can get,
I can get
just by hauling it off.
But just by hauling it off.
For the, you know, tree trimmers and so forth.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you just bring a load in, you know.
I've got a good axe, and I've got a good crosscut saw, and I've got a good man on the other end of it.
Well, I know
and
how
I
to use
any
either
man.
One.
I bar any man to stand up with me on the crosscut saw.
Well, you can cut a couple of hours on Saturday morning and have enough to supply the whole country.
Well, I used, we
and
lived
I don't
in Matilla.
Why they are
so... Soft
the
wood.
So...
Salt the Frank, help me salt.
Useless.
They're lazy. They want somebody to hand it to them on a silver plate.
They can't get around to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, I told Faye, once, if I ever make a move down there, you see, offer to get them something, then Buddy he, and the rest of them, they wouldn't touch it.
No, you done got yourself in for a lifetime.
You got it. They'll stand back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's me. If I go down there and fix your car
one time,
I'm stuck for the rest of my life.
You are stuck. They'll be waiting for you.
Well, if I can just find a stove, I can keep the field. I know how to use a saw, and I know how to use an axe. I've done too much of it.
But there would be some way of doing it to where they would have to put the shekels out on the line before they got it. And you wouldn't have to appear behind behind the saw and say, just tell them you know a fellow there who got some, and he'll send it over there. You can get some of this. You have to lie. I mean, you can't admit you can't tell the truth, thing like that. Come up here, put some over here, and let them see it. And somebody want a little bit, I'd say. Yeah, anybody to holler. They don't belong to me, it belongs to another fellow. See, if it belonged to me, they wouldn't pay me.
No.
I took Mrs. Radio uptown several times, and I never did get in. Bessie, she's I say. Well, at that time she was painting a house. And she was doing several things. She was just tidying up. Oh yes. And she was running up her and she doing that and she was running up her account over there at Mr. Trice's store. And I was over there one day and he says, do you think Miss Bessie's health is all right? That's too much, according to her health. And, yeah, she was tidying up, but she's just letting everybody hold the bills. She knew that.
I keep looking at this.
You don't mind talking, Helen?
But you see, the trouble is, once you do it,
that's it. Just one time.
Just one time. Don't whisper, Faye. Go on talk.
It's just that the health food.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Well, we had wondered what in the world happened to you, and
uh-huh.
I said, Faye, I'll call over. I said, you know, you're calling. If half the family has run off the bridge, there's enough left to send us word, so we just sitting back waiting to hear from you.
Snowbound. We figured you might get snowbound.
Okay, when was
that? We didn't get back until, well, it was Monday night at 11.
Well, what was that?
And I was so tired.
Yeah.
What was that weather up there? Did you get 20 inches of snow? They said it at Elkhorn, West Virginia, there was 20
Elkhorn.
Inches of snow.
Elkhorn. That's
Elkhorn.
Right. There was. Yes, sir. Because there's men trapped in the woods deer hunting, and when we left up there, there's one man they hadn't
still
found.
Hadn't found.
Arnold Wright from Spencer, West Virginia.
I'm good. They still hadn't. They had found all the other men, and this man, this one came in, and it was his daddy, the boy.
The boy came in,
but
and
his
daddy was still back in the mountain somewhere. They didn't know where he was at. They're searching for him with helicopters, road graders.
See, Elkins is way up in the mountains.
tractor,
way up in
anything they can get in the woods with.
See, that's
there.
The regular hunting area.
Oh.
Up around the Elkins is usually where the big hunters go.
Uh-huh.
And it gets deep.
Mm-hmm.
Like
and
we went to Elkins one time
on
Thanksgiving Day. It was on Thanksgiving Day.
Blacktop Mountain, there's 14 inches of snow.
I know we left home that morning and it wasn't cold at all, and we run in the snow.
Is that right?
Down where you all are, you didn't get much?
No, they didn't have much.
Well, now, over Clay, if we come through Clay, there's about 5 inches.
Well, that isn't much.
There's a whole lot when you ain't used to none.
I know,
yeah.
But if you remember back in 1950, on Thanksgiving Day, we were snowbound.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Leo was supposed to come home. We're home for dinner. He went into the service in December, wasn't it? And he was to come over home for Thanksgiving dinner. And I baked 2 big chickens. And Daddy had just bought a bushel of turnips. We hadn't had our all the potatoes dug yet. And we got up Thanksgiving morning and snow was yay deep. How many inches?
42 inches.
What?
He couldn't even get out on the horse.
42 inches.
We had to carry, and we had to dig our way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. We had to dig our way to the well. We couldn't even get the car out. We a week.
I started riding old Babe, these horses' mama.
Can you
and I couldn't get. I never got a half a mile from home, and it was 13 miles from home over to where she lives.
No, you just couldn't. You just couldn't move. It was that way for a week.
Yeah.
And about 3 or 4 days, the people up the creek, they finally got a path made. You know, and they came down and crossed the river, and Daddy went with them. They walked about a mile down the road to the store. We were snowbound. That was 1950.
42 inches. Fell overnight.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of that.
And I told Mother, I said, it's a good thing he didn't come. We ate the chicken. We had it for a week. I mean, till it run out.
We
ate turnips for a week. We didn't have all the potatoes dug.
We had our sheep back out in what we call the sheep field. And they were strung all over that hillside. 50 acres. Them sheep was everywhere. And it took us 3 days to get all of our sheep together.
You just can't do anything in snow.
3 days.
What year was that?
1950. Thanksgiving Day. You just can't do anything in weather that deep. I mean, we had to carry our drinking water in, you know, and had to go on carrying it up over the snow.
I went to the Army December 11th, 1950.
Well, I remember Uncle Fred came to work, and I can see him yet. He's about my height. He come holding his lunch pail up.
He what?
Had to hold his lunch pail up. He couldn't even put it down. His arm wouldn't go down in the snow. He had to carry it up.
Why, hell?
And he had drug 3 miles. He had drug through that snow to work.
Give out.
Walked. He walked to work that morning. I can see him yet coming up the railroad track.
That poorly.
Holding his lunch pail up.
I went to the Army. Took my basic training in Fort Knox, Kentucky. I come back home, got home on April the 26th. No, March the 26th. March the 26th. Got home for, supposed to be home for 30 days.
That's the year they fired MacArthur.
And
called
when
all
they
them
fired
back.
General Douglas MacArthur, the next day they called me back early.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Helen were supposed to be married on Friday night. 8 o'clock, and I had to leave on the 5 o'clock bus.
Yeah. That was.
I had to leave on the 5 o'clock bus.
They didn't get married that year.
Not that year. So he was gone 11 months and
13 months and 11 days. No, 11 months and 13
11
days.
11 months and 13 days.
And we came back.
Blackards.
I came back home. I went to Korea. I went back to Fort Knox, Kentucky. And they gave me all of my shots right there in Fort Knox. They put me on a train and sent me to Fort Lewis, Washington. They gave me 2 shots when I got to Fort Lewis. And I went through the building. And they went right on the right.
You
right
didn't
on the
need
boat.
To stop.
No.
He just walked through the building.
I wasn't in Fort Lewis, Washington 3 hours.
They can move.
Yeah. And I went right on the ship, and we pulled out of harbor at 11 o'clock that night.
At that time.
And we set sail, and I landed in Sasebo, Japan, on my birthday, May the 15th.
That's huge.
And they gave you shore leave, and you went out and celebrated.
No, they didn't give me no shore leave. They put me on a cattle car and sent me to Korea.
They kept him a going.
That was shore leave, wasn't it?
That was shore leave. They put me on a cattle car and sent me to Osaka, Japan. Put me on a plane then, and flew me out, and dropped the that plane landed on a transport, and we went and down in the bottom of that transport and stood in there like cows. And they took us 2 days to get to Korea. It took us, we got out off of the boat in what was the name of that place there in Korea? Anyway, they took us off of the, we got off the boat there and eat some sea rations, give us a package of sea rations and a pack of cigarettes, and put us on a truck and shuttled us to Seoul, Korea. All of us, a whole lot. I mean, they were trucks lined up for 40 miles, looked like. We all got out there and like froze to death. It was cold.
Cold,
yeah, in May. Mm.
Yeah, way up there.
Yeah, and heck, we didn't have nothing on but our fatigues. That's all we had on. No clothes, because we'd all throw them overboard. Wasn't carrying any packs, huh?
Why?
No, we didn't carry no packs. Heck, we throw them, I'll tell it now, we threw their clothes away and bought moonshine whiskey in the States.
Yeah.
Heck, we still had moonshine whiskey when we got in Korea.
Oh, you took a 5 gallon can.
I took 5 gallon moonshine whiskey with me from Houston, Texas. Me and Kenneth Scott and Glenn Davis and Earl Hurdle.
Well, I hope it was all right.
It was good stuff. Of course, it kept us out of KP from the time we left Fort Lewis, Washington, until we got to Korea. And then I didn't have to pull no KP.
You was past that over there.
Yeah.
Kept you warm, too.
You need that little fatigue.
That's all we had in a duffel bag. Moonshine. Oh, we had a ball.
But no compensations at all in Korea.
None whatsoever.
And that moonshine, you couldn't replenish.
No, no. No, we couldn't even get beer to chase it with.
Yeah. It's just raw country.
Raw country and raw whiskey. But I'm going to tell you, though, old Lieutenant Brannon, when he found out that we all had moonshine whiskey, by God.
Oh, did he start trading that for clothes again?
No, no, we give it to, we went to the company commander's quarters. That's where we stayed. We eat like kings. Sure did. We eat like kings. Because you see, the company commander, they get special food. The privates and the troops, they get what's left over.
They don't even get what's left over. They just get that other old stuff, don't they?
Most of the time. Me and Ken Scott, Glenn Davis, and Earl Hurdle.
You couldn't even get rich playing poker in Korea, could you?
Darn, no. There wasn't no money over there. I sent all my money home to Daddy.
Yeah.
I made Daddy an allotment. I sent all my money home.
You didn't have any PXs to
no.
chisel out of stuff?
No.
They just hadn't civilized that place, had they?
No, well, that wasn't a war. The United States wouldn't even send us smoking tobacco.
And you see, these fellows from Vietnam, they had everything over there.
Yeah. Helen sent me smoking tobacco. Didn't you? She sent me smoking tobacco.
Yeah.
I couldn't get no smoking tobacco. And the cigarettes you got was so dusty, so old. And it'd been wet and everything. I mean, they wasn't fit to smoke.
Yeah, them old warehouses.
Yeah, for goodness knows how long. And Helen sent me some good smoking tobacco, and well, I could sell that stuff for $5 a pack. Just as fast. I wouldn't sell it, no. I'll smoke that myself.
Well,
sometimes I'd get as high as 30 letters in one day. I'd go for a month and I'd get a letter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Get them all at one time. Of course, you wrote me a letter every day.
And you didn't ever, you never, it never occurred to you that one of these days you'd be buying little old Japanese cars to run around there.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Grandma. I'm not going to patronize them fellas over there, because I ain't going to buy them all.
Yes, but you buy just about everything else with Japan on it. So just about the stores are loaded.
I wouldn't. I still wouldn't.
No. I'm not going to buy any
cars. No, sir. They kept me here knocking around the countryside for all that time. I wouldn't do it. There's the only thing I buy from them. And the only reason I buy that from them is the only dealers that got any sense. That's all they got.
Well?
Or else I wouldn't do that.
See, I think...
Is that full of March on...
May the 27th.
Is this just a thing for designing?
No, it's in the tank battalion.
No,
of vehicle mechanics. May 27th to... up in June, July. Then on September the 21st, they put me. By that time, they put me in as a tank mechanic and retriever driver. September the 21st, they went on a task force. We had 121 men, and we left the CP. When we got back 4 days later, we had 19.
More
I was one of the lucky.
You can take that.
Had 19 men in two tanks. We just almost got wiped out. Well, we didn't have enough men to keep Corey and coming in and surrounding them. Yeah, it was 7 weeks there. 5 weeks,
she's
wasn't
good
it? How long was it? 5 or 7 weeks that you never heard from me?
I think it was 5 months, I believe. A long time. Is that when you were out on the water?
No. That's when I was behind it.
Well, the one time he was in a flood.
Was in a flood. Yeah, that was in...
Couldn't swim.
No, I was in December before I came home.
12 hours, wasn't it? You were hanging on to a rope or hanging on to something?
Hanging on to a 30 caliber machine gun in the top of a tank turret. Out in the middle of the Wonder River.
Couldn't swim in the lake, still can't. Poor place to be in a flood.
Yeah, they're trying to get, if they couldn't get
from
one way, they'd get
from
another.
Huh. Oh, I told Captain Hartman, I said, boy, Captain, that tank has a table. The way that water could be. Get in it, that's an order. What could I do?
Did get wet. You did.
On the way out there, and so far, I was going to get as smooth as you know. That's all she wrote. I went in up over the tank before, and the turret set up on top of that. Right out in the middle of that river. About 100 feet wide. And it was just pouring rain down. And the water was rising. 5 foot high and rising. And it just kept on raising up and raising up. I had to get up. And I got up on top of that tank turret and stood there. And when they brought the ropes over to get me out, and they got the ropes strung across the river and walked up the side, the engineers did that. There was about all 8 or 10 inches of the end of that for the caliber machine that was sticking out of the water. And I was holding on.
The water was rising. That meant it rides my current.
Plenty of current. I was just about to give out.
Hang on.
And they got that rope up to me. And I caught a hold of it. Got that little piece of rope where they had it tied in the middle of it. Got it and tied it around my waist. And held on to the rest of the rope. And they cut one end of it loose. Man, I hit the other side just like that. And the whole rescue squad was over to get me. And you know, from that day on, I never done a little work. Never done a little work from that day on.
You've done your part.
Yes, I've done it. That was in December.
Oh, we're going to have to go.
December. Yeah.
25 after that. I'm watching
December.
The clock.
And January, I didn't do nothing. And February 19th. February 18th, they come out and turn the cook. Turn your bedding and clothes in the morning, you rotate tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Old Forrest W. Wallace, he was my bookkeeper. He went up to the captain's tent. And they were a big little party that night. Never would forget.
Stag?
Never would forget. Poor old Dugan Kennedy. He was sergeant. No, I was up sergeant. I was a maid sergeant if I was stayed. Yeah. And Sergeant Russell.
They need some more tacks on them. They're curling up on them.
And old Corporal Conley, the drunk. He was in my company. We took basic training together.
Oh.
Went over there together. But we didn't come back together. A lot of the men I went to basic training with went overseas together. Was in my company. We didn't come. We didn't come back together. Poor little old Johnny DeBacco. He was from Scranton, Pennsylvania. And Tony Covello. Me and Tony Covello, I mean, we could be walking down the street and you couldn't tell us apart.
Oh,
he was in that tank. Did you help?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny didn't come back. Tony did. And Victor D. Wolfenberger from Redwood City, California was over there with me. He is now in El Paso, Texas. And if nothing happens, I'm going to go see Victor D. Wolfenberger in El Paso, Texas. It's been over 20 years since I saw him. But I bet he's the same old Victor.
This Sunday. Sunland's having their Christmas classes. They usually have it during the week. But this year they're having it on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, the first, they're going to show it at 1, and then the second time at 3. And three university students have been working with the music department. I don't know who they are, but they can give a name.
Karen's one of them, I think.
Three? No, she's going to give a party.
No, that's
they didn't give their names, but anyway, they've been working with them.
No, Dr. Clink from up at McLean. She's working with the season.
There's three of them that have been working with this group, and there's, now I had it written down because I couldn't remember. There are 22 cottages, patients from 22 cottages, and there's, I forget how many patients now, that are supposed to take part, and they're supposed to have the nativity scene and all this, you know. Now, I thought last year, and I said this makes you so ashamed of yourself, and you see, because they study, they learn all the sheep music and everything, and a lot of it is, Miss Fussell. Is it Linda Fussell or Betty Fussell? Is the music director. And the minister retired, and they don't have a regular pastor to chaplain. Not yet, they haven't found one. But anyway, she always worked with him. And boy, they can sing.
Really?
The church, the chapel was, but this year it's to be in the auditorium. Before, they've always had their Christmas program in the chapel. But it was so pretty. Everything decorated and just so.
Mm-hmm. They took pride in it.
Oh, yes. So I want to see this if I can. I'd like to go by three anyway. Maybe I can get a chance to go. Mm-hmm. But, because I know some are going to be in it. But it seems like it's 220. I know there's 22 cottages.
How's the cow feet?
That sounds like enough a lot. But I forget how many.
Getting better.
Many have to take time.
All right. And this little grass just springing up all around here, they look like they're right in the middle of the summer still. They haven't let down at all.
Yeah, I guess. Old Leo's oldest sister's always want to come down during the holidays if the weather isn't too bad up there. They're going to drive themselves.
You know, we can celebrate. I had my last meeting today with old Stinker.
Old Stinker?
Yes, sir.
Know it all.
Oh. You didn't ship him out, did you?
No, sir, but I had to silence him. Everything he said was stinky.
I don't know how he stood it.
Yes, sir. I never saw such a... What do they call it in... Little Abner, what do they call it? People are disgusting, depressing. What is the word they use?
And I don't read Little Abner, so
oh,
I don't
you
know.
It's well, disgusting. That's not the word. That's better word than that. If he ain't it, I never saw
him.
Revolting. And there was some more in there. Let me tell you. You get. I have yet to get any of these fraternity boys that didn't have a crummy mind. It's just downright crummy. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. If there was, they wouldn't have been over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that's my experience with them.
Yeah. Well,
now, you can point to the presidents of the corporations. They may be crummy, too. I don't know.
But you know, well, I'll tell you,
I had several of them.
Sharon's roommate, I was down at Broward Hall getting a cup of coffee yesterday morning, and Sharon's roommate came over. I didn't know it was Madam's house cat, you know. She bought a transfer table, you know, and she pulled her chair out and she said, down. Are you cooking? Yes, ma'am, can I help you? Melvin, he was sitting over there. Jerry was my assistant superintendent, was sitting over there. I said, yes, ma'am, can you hear me? I think her name's Polly or something. Or Joy or something, anyway. I didn't forget. She said, I'm Sharon's roommate. She said, I've heard a lot of talk about you and your horses, your wagon, and that new gold Chevrolet pickup.
She knew you. She knew you, all right.
Yeah. And she went on with a bunch of hogwash. Wanted to see the horse work. I said, we'll be at the ranch this weekend and you can sure see it.
Well, we enjoyed the visit.
We're glad you're back safely.
And you got to work all night. And I'm just yawning my head off.
As far as I'm concerned, from the weatherman, it's not going to turn cold.
I hope not.
You know I'm going to think of it, but...
Not for
3 or 4 days. You're not showing up yet. You know, this is really be something if this is kind of cold, wouldn't it? Oh, this drizzle and a little light rain, it would really get me. You got the light on, Luke?
Channel to right around 800 or 900, and the end of the visit with Cook and Helen this Thursday, the 2nd of December, 71. Their first visit after they got back from their long weekend, Thanksgiving weekend in West Virginia. Channel to right around 800, 900, and the end of the visit with Cook and Helen this Thursday, the 2nd of December, 71. First visit after they got back from West Virginia and the long Thanksgiving weekend.